The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Legends of Sport podcast. I'm your host, Andy Bernstein. This week's episode was so much fun for me. Our guest is Byron Scott, legendary member of the Showtime Lakers. Byron is a winner of three NBA championships, teammate and coach of the Mamba himself, Kobe Bryant. He's a podcaster, a broadcaster, active in so many amazing charities, and founder of the 3 Points brand with his wife, Cece. I've known Byron from his rookie year. Byron is an LA native, having grown up in the shadow of the Forum. He went on to Arizona State. Then he was the fourth pick in the 1983 NBA draft by the San Diego Clippers, then traded to the Lakers for Norm Nixon. We talked about so much on this episode. It didn't feel at all like an interview. Just two friends going down memory lane together, reliving some magical moments from a truly magical time in both our lives. I'm talking about specifically the Showtime era, of course. Both Byron and I recently attended the reunion of the Showtime Lakers in Maui that was hosted by Magic Johnson and Pat Riley. Really hard to describe what an incredible week that was for us, and we talk about that on this episode. So folks, sit back and enjoy this conversation with the great Byron Scott. And as always, I'll see you on the backside. Well, I want to welcome Byron Scott to the Legends of Sport podcast. My friend, it's so great to see you again. We just saw each other recently, and I want to jump right in on that, man. First of all, I'm wearing a shirt. See? Showtime reunion. Got my Showtime reunion shirt. tell me, let's relive that magical week in Maui, what that felt like. First of all, let's go back to the beginning. Like, how is this broach to you originally? Like, did Magic bring it up? Riley, who brought it up to you?
Yeah, Buck brought it up to me. We were at the gym working out at Equinox. Mm-hmm. And he came up to me one day, Andy, and he said, B, I'm thinking about putting a Showtime reunion together. What do you think? And I said, man, I think that would be great, Buck.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously this was right before this was being planned before the pandemic ever hit.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, you know, every day that we would see each other, he would kind of give me an update on guys that he's gotten in contact with. You know, he was like, man, I got in contact with Mike Schmreck, excited, Chuck Nevitz, all these guys. He said, I need you be to call, you know, 3 or 4 of these guys because I don't have their info. And I said, well, yeah, I got a couple of those guys, so yeah. I'll reach out to them.
Yeah.
So that's how I basically got started. You know, he just asked me, what did I think about it? And I told him I thought it would be an unbelievable idea. And then the pandemic hit and, you know, we had to obviously postpone it. But, you know, going into this year, I remember him talking about, you know, we're still talking about doing it. I was like, cool. And September came and, man, you know, everybody's there. The rest is history, as you know, because you were there. You were part of that Showtime family. And it was great seeing everybody.
Well, I got to tell you, man, I kept pinching myself that whole week because, first of all, I was thrilled and humbled and honored to be invited. And, you know, of course, I brought my camera with me, you know, because somebody had to document it, and I'm glad I did. But, you know, I've heard Magic talk about this. You know, I watched the special that was on Spectrum, which was great. But from your perspective, when you're there and you're seeing all these guys and it's 35 years later or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, does it all come flooding back? Do you start remembering like certain things or moments or just that like internal feeling of like what it was like to be a brotherhood, a group of you guys together?
All of those above, Andy. I mean, you know, the first night that I got there, because I ended up being, you know, one day later because I, you know, had played in a golf tournament in New York with my boy Victor Green for his foundation. So I ended up getting there Tuesday instead of Monday. So when I got there, the first person that I saw was Rouse. You know, I went into the ballroom because my wife was, you know, worried about me not eating on the plane and all that. And it was a long trip. You know, I was coming from New York.
Sure.
So that's a long day.
Yeah.
So I went in the ballroom and of course Rouse being Rouse was in there getting ready for tonight, you know, getting the film session ready and all that. So I got a chance to see Rouse first. And, you know, as soon as I saw him, it just brought back nothing but the 80s memories.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much with everybody, even the guys I didn't play with.
Yeah.
The guys I knew but never got a chance to play with. You know, Clay Johnson was there my rookie year and then he was gone. Mm-hmm. Jim Jones, you know, guys I didn't play with. And it was just so good to see them guys because I know them, you know, but it was just so good to interact with them and share some of our experiences and share some of the stories. Mm. Like you said, it really did feel like I was back in my mid to late 20s. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It felt that good seeing everybody and the camaraderie that we have and the love that we have for one another. It just brought back all kind of great memories. And kind of like you said, you pinched yourself every night. Mm. I would wake up in the middle of the night and I would just feel myself smiling, you know, and it was just one of those smiles that, man, this is unbelievable. This is great to be here. And it lasted the whole week. So it was just an unbelievable experience.
Yeah. I mean, they could have had this thing in like Omaha or, you know,
it didn't matter.
Right. But we happened to be at Maui at the Four Seasons. So that wasn't so bad.
Yeah,
so B, let's talk about when you guys went to the gym. Right. And you're all wearing your shirts and you're all out there and you're all stretching. Gary Vee's leading this, you know, the stretch in the circle. Riley's pacing back and forth like he used to. I mean, it was to me, and I was looking at the faces of the wives and all the other staff people who were watching. Everybody was like had their mouths open. You know, it's like, are we like reliving history? This is unbelievable. And of course, you know, you're the only one who I think hit a shot the entire practice, but that's a whole other story. No, I know McAdoo did as well. But to see Kareem out there at 75 years old shooting skyhooks.
Yeah.
I mean, there's very few times in my career where, you know, I was tasked to photograph something where I really wish I just could have watched it, you know, but I was watching it through the camera. It was so incredible. And his speech as well. Amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cap is so inspirational, man. As you know, he is one of the smartest dudes I've ever been around.
Mm-hmm.
He understands the history of this game. He understands the magnitude that we had in the 80s and what we were able to accomplish.
Mm-hmm.
For him to get up there and speak, you know, that speech before we, you know, all went to stretch and get ready for what we call a real walkthrough. No more running.
Right.
I thought it was just, it was fitting.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Him to do that. And then, like you said, just to see him out there on the court, man.
Yeah.
Like, it just, I think all of us, you know, we were reliving our youth.
Yeah.
You know, we couldn't move as fast and all that stuff and jump as high, but it was just one of those things when we did it, we went back to the room or back to the bus. We told some more stories on the bus and then we got to the room, you know, you get ready for dinner that night and you just remember how great that feeling was to be out there. And I was kind of like James, like, at one point, he was like, man, I thought we had a game or something.
Yeah, right. Yeah, right. That old mindset that, like, muscle memory kicked in, right? That was
just
crazy.
Just be the captain there and to see how happy he was to be there, man. That was probably one of the most joyful times for me, being around Cap, because I know he was having a ball, and that made me feel good.
Oh, amazing. Then Jeffrey Osborne, like, private concert. Yeah. Give me a break. And it was incredible. And then, of course, the trash talking didn't stop the entire week, whether you guys are playing dominoes, you're on the golf course, you know, you're on the court, at dinner. You know, that was just so special, and it just brings you back.
Imagine playing spades with Eddie Jordan, and they talk the smack. You know, and it was just all of us doing what we normally do.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, we was with each other way back in the day. We just a lot older, but man, that vibe was still there. Yeah. You know. The mind was still there, you know, it's just the bodies can't move like it used to.
Yeah. You know, Magic spoke very eloquently when we were there about there's no other team, no other organization that could have done this, right? Or could do this. I mean, I can't think of any, you know, I don't see the Bulls doing this, even, you know, they won 6, but you know, how do you put that into words? Like, how do you quantify that? You know, what is special about this group, this 10-year group of Lakers?
I think, you know, what Dr. Buss tried to establish from the get-go was a family, you know, type of organization. And I think everybody that put that purple and gold on in the 80s that won a championship, he looked at them as family. And that's how we kind of treat each other, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the best word I could use, Andy, is family. We had our... As you know, back in the days, our in-house fighting and stuff like that. But when we got out of there and we went on that court, we were always united because we always played for one common cause, that's championships.
Right.
And so I love the fact that even to this day, we all still genuinely love each other and we want each other to do well.
Mm-hmm.
And it comes from the top. You know, it came from Dr. Buss, you know, to Jerry West, to Pat Riley, and then our leaders, Magic and Kareem, you know, and it just trickled down to everybody else. So it wasn't shocking to me after 30-something years to see us all come together and have as much fun as we had. But if you look at organizations, they're not connected like that.
Mm-hmm.
The Bulls, the Celtics, you know, all those teams, they're not connected like that. I think we're the only organization that could have pulled off something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And we were able to do it. And we won't be the last. I'm sure there's going to be other teams because it's a copycat league. So there's going to be some other teams that's going to do it as well. But you know, we've always been kind of that trendsetter. And it's such a blessing to me to, like I said that night when I got there, I said, this is just such a blessing to be in front of everybody here and be able to talk and have fun and be us.
Yeah. You know, it's so interesting that, you know, everybody who was there eventually left the Lakers in one way or the other.
Right.
You know, Riley, of course, went on to New York and then Miami, and he's still working for Miami. You know, you left, you came back. I mean, everybody, you know, but yet you remember where your family is. You know, you remember where home is. You know, I go home to Brooklyn. I haven't lived in that house in 40 years, but I still go by it. I still feel like I kind of live there, you know.
You know what your room looked like and the living room and everything else.
I could probably draw, if I knew how to draw, I could probably draw that out. So we got a question for you, man. Now that we're, you know, seasoned a little bit older, when you were going through Showtime and you were winning your championships, I don't know what the right terminology is, because I've been trying to figure out how to ask you this, but, you know, living in the moment, Phil Jackson used to always talk about being in the moment, you know, and all that. I mean, were you taking it in at that point? Were you like, man, I'm in Boston Garden, I'm beating the crap out of the Celtics. You know, it's like, we're going to win a championship on the parquet floor. I mean, or does all that just kind of happen later, years later? Because for me, I got to tell you my thing, I'm just there doing my job, and then I either collapse later, or thank God we got SportsCenter so I can like relive it, you know?
Right.
Yeah. How was it in the moment for you?
I never really fully understood living it in, you know, living in the moment, you know, because you're trying to get a job done. So for me, it hit me, you know, years later on winning those championships and what it meant and how rare it is. You know, I never, you know, when we won, you know, in 85, first Laker team ever to beat the Celtics in a 7-game series. And we did it on the parquet floor. That was the one thing I do remember, is that I was so happy when my dad took me to the airport going into game 6. We up 3-2. And my dad, who's unbelievable, he was like, so what do you think? I said, oh, we win this in 6.
Yeah.
You know, and he was like, oh, okay. And it's funny because when I came home and he was like, you said that so emphatically that you were so sure.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I swear I thought it was going to go 7.
Yeah.
But the way you said it, you were so confident. So I said, yeah, Dad, I just knew we had them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I never looked back and said, man, we beat them on the parquet floor. It took me years, Andy, before I start reliving some of the things that we were able to accomplish. And then, you know, I think the good thing about that is then I really, really started to appreciate it that much more as I got older on some of the things we were able to accomplish.
Yeah. Yeah. Incredible, man. But you've been around and played with against some of the greats of all time. I mean, you used to have to guard Michael Jordan. You know, you played next to Magic Johnson, James Worthy, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Then you get to be a teammate with a young guy named Kobe Bryant, 18 years old, right?
Yeah.
And you get to see his whole career. And then you got you get the opportunity to coach him 20 years later. I mean, what a full circle experience. But what is it about greatness, especially with Kobe? What did you see in the – because I've heard – you know, we've talked about this before. I've heard you do interviews. You recognized something in that young fella at 18 years old that really came to fruition, you know. But can you remember back to that rookie season of his?
Absolutely, Andy. I remember this kid would be in the gym early.
Mm-hmm.
He'd be out there shooting at the forum before the lights were even on, you know. He's just shooting in the dark because I would come early because at that time I needed to get to practice early to get, you know, stretched and loose and all that stuff and treatment.
Yeah.
And I remember hearing the ball bounce and I would go on the court and I couldn't even see him until I walked all the way, you know, all the way out there and I could see Kobe down at the other end shooting, you know, in the dark. And I would go and tell Gary Vee, you know, how long has this kid been here? And he was like, oh, man, he got here when I got here.
Yeah.
You know,
crazy.
I said, we need to tell somebody to turn the lights on at least, you know, when it's light.
Yeah.
But I saw it early that he was determined, dedicated. You know, his work ethic was unbelievable. At 18, you don't see 18-year-olds with that type of dedication, you know, that want to be in the gym 24-7.
Or doing anything at 18 that is that's so obsessed.
Yeah, your mind is so scattered with so many other things.
Yeah,
I just knew from day one when I met him. That this kid was special. I didn't know how special until we started practicing and everything. And during games, he would sit beside me and ask questions. And I was like, man, mark my words, y'all. This kid's going to be unbelievable. And it made me feel and seem like a prophet because it came true. Y'all came to fruition that this kid was special. And he outworked everybody along with having, you know, great talent as well.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey, everyone. It's Andy Bernstein. You may know me from my Hall of Fame career as a sports photographer. Well, just like you, we all want to take great photos of our sports, travel, or family. To take great photos, you need great camera equipment and a great store. Paul's Photo has what you need, and they have what I need. The team at Paul's Photo can help you choose the right camera and teach you how to use it. Paul's Photo. Call them at 310-375-7014 or find them 24/7 online at paulsphoto.com. Paul's Photo, your local camera store no matter where you live. So in your second year coaching in New Jersey, you end up in the finals against your beloved Lakers. I can't even imagine the feelings of that. But you're coaching against the kid, against Kobe. Did you have anything in your arsenal, in your toolbox, that you could pull from how to stop this guy?
No. I knew the first game we were going to get blown out, because when I walked on the court with my other coaches, Jordan, who's also a former Laker, and Michael Korn, I looked at them and I said, man, we in trouble tonight. Because I saw our guys warming up and they were just kind of starstruck.
Yeah.
They were around. And I look back down at the Lakers, they're warm up. They are focused. They're not looking in the stands. Our guys' first time ever being there, so they're looking in the stands. And they just trounced us the first game.
Yeah.
The next three games, we hung in there all the way to the fourth quarter. And then Kobe or Shaq or both would just take over.
Yeah.
And we really just didn't have enough to guard either one of those guys, let alone. I mean, we had to double both. If Kobe off of pick and rolls, we had to double Shaq. We had to double in the post.
Yeah.
Now you're leaving D Fish, Fox, all those guys open. And they were just a great team. And we knew, from game one we were gonna have trouble. I just wanted to see. I said, man, if we can win one or two, I would be happy. And these guys just rolled through us like, we wasn't even there.
Yeah.
Just a great team. And it was really fun, really, to be honest with you, kind of coaching against them, because I said if I can't win it, I want purple and gold too.
Yeah, it had to be mixed feelings. As you're talking about that, I'm thinking of a boxing reference. I was at the fight, the Tyson Spinks fight. I don't know if you remember that. Over 91 seconds.
So, I remember that.
So the setup was, Spinks comes in, and there's the whole entourage and the whole thing, and they do the ropes, and he goes in, he shadow boxes, and then all of a sudden all the lights go out. This is in Atlantic City. All the lights go out, single spotlight on Mike. He's got the towel with the hole in it.
Cut off towel, yeah.
He's got like two guys in his entourage. And I swear to God, this happened. I was in an elevated position, so I'm watching the whole thing happen. He approaches the ring, and Spinks is in the ring already. And they split the ropes. He goes in, and as he enters the ring, Spinks looks at him and literally took two steps back. He goes like, what the hell am I doing in here with this guy? And he, as you know, he took two punches and that was the end of it.
He's out, yeah. He was in trouble from the get-go, yeah.
So it's kind of a little bit what you were kind of talking about. I don't know. Went off on a tangent a little bit, man. So, B, you are now like me, like a podcaster. I mean...
Yes.
I mean, you at least have some broadcasting experience, after you played and coached. And how much help was that in the podcasting world? Your podcast is so great. And you're talking to people and you're able to, like, I watched the one with James, was so good. You seem to do it effortlessly, right? And how are you finding that whole medium and that whole sort of being on the other side?
You know what? I'm enjoying it.
Yeah.
Like you said, I got a crack at it or a taste of it with ESPN. And, we're able to do that, after losing a job here and there, then I would get hired by ESPN. Mm-hmm. Then I get, hired on another job, and then I go back to ESPN. And I just really enjoy the fact that you get to, ask questions to people that you are very interested in knowing more about.
Mm-hmm.
And I always said, it's not an interview, it's a conversation.
Yeah.
That's exactly what we're having. We're going to have a conversation. And that's what James and I had. All my guests have been like that.
Yeah.
And, I've been getting a lot of feedback on the podcast that, a lot of people like it, like you, and I appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, man, your guests seem to really open up to you. I said, well, that's because we kind of know each other.
Yeah.
But also they feel comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing about a podcast or any type of, interview or conversation that you had. You want the other person to feel, comfortable. So I enjoy doing it, Andy. I really do. I've done three seasons, about to start season four.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm gonna probably wait until 2023 to, start season four. One of my guests on season four, I can give you two.
Yeah.
And two of my favorite people, Andy Garcia.
Oh.
I mean, I've been a big Andy Garcia fan from way back in the day. And he was sitting next to me during a Laker game after he did a Godfather.
Oh. Okay.
Started talking to him, and we got to be friends, exchange numbers and all that good stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
I've been chasing him for about 6 months. I was like, Andy, I need you on my podcast. And we finally got that done. My other good friend and my other fellow teammate who you know very well, Urban Magic Johnson, is going to be on as well. So
yeah,
just talking to people that I, number one, got a lot of respect for. and number two that I got a lot of love for, and people that I think will be very interesting. And, you know, everybody that watches the podcast, they're going to get something special out of it.
Yeah. Andy Garcia, I look forward to that, man. I mean, that guy has just been there through thick and thin forever, right?
Yes, he has. Big Laker fan.
Amazing.
Like I said, one of my favorite actors of all time.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I love him.
Yeah, I had George Lopez on. I think it was during the pandemic when, you know, we couldn't be in person or anything. And he had such incredible stories. Oh, my God. He talked about, you know, not even being able to afford a ticket at the top of Staples Center, you know, when he first started. And now he's sitting courtside with Arsenio, like literally pinching himself. And then conversations he would have with Kobe during the game.
During the game, yeah. During the game.
Unbelievable. Hey, B, I know we talked about this before, but your coaching pedigree, right? First of all, what lit your fire to coach in the first place? I mean, I know you retired, and a lot of retired guys go into coaching, and you had your first stint, I believe, in Sacramento, right? Assistant coach. Yes. But, you know, a lot of guys don't want to coach. What interests you about coaching?
Well, you know what, Andy? I never wanted to coach. When I started playing basketball and got to the Lakers, and, you know, in my fifth year, I think, in the league, Pat Riley told me, we had a conversation, and I said something. He said, you know, one day when you become a coach, you'll understand some of the things I have to go through. And I was like, coach, I said, Riles, you're out your damn mind. Straight like that. I said, you're out your damn mind. I ain't coaching. You're crazy. And he just looked at me like, yeah, okay. You know, and I was 26 at the time. Uh-huh. And then, you know, I go to Indiana. You know, I get signed by Indiana at 32, and I'm playing for Larry Brown, another Hall of Fame coach.
Yeah.
And I was a big Larry Brown fan. If Larry Brown would have got the UCLA job 2 weeks earlier, I would have went to UCLA instead of Arizona State. Mm. That's how much of a fan I was of Larry Brown. So when I signed with Indiana, Larry was like, I finally got you. And I was like, yeah, we finally get a chance to, you know, to do something together.
Yeah.
And during practice, you know, after a couple of weeks of practice, he looked at me one day and said, you know, because he would always ask me, how did you guys cover this? Mm-hmm. You know, what would you do on pick and rolls? What would you do on this? What would you do on high? And I would always tell him, this is how we did. And he said, B, I don't know if you ever thought about this, but I think you would be a really good coach. And so I said, wait a minute, Pat Riley sees something in me that I don't see. Yeah. Larry Brown sees something in me that I don't see. Maybe I should start thinking about this and take it a little serious. So I got a notebook and I start keeping a journal, you know, for the next couple of years. And I said, if I do really want to get into this, you know, I got to be prepared. And when I finished that journal, I was kind of like, yeah, I think I would like to coach and see how this is. And that got me going. And then, you know, Sacramento, you know, gave me a call and, you know, Rick Adelman, who I think is still one of the most underrated coaches I've ever seen in the NBA, gave me a call and said, I heard you're interested in coaching. And Jerry West had called them. So Jerry West put the word in because I told him what I wanted to do. And he asked me to be, he said, come with me and, you know, be an assistant GM or something. I said, no, I'm not a suit guy. I got to be on the bench somewhere. I got to be on the court. And so he called Sacramento and said, I heard you're looking for a coach. Byron Scott's interested in getting into coaching. So that's how I got the interview with Sacramento. And as soon as the interview was over, Rick Adelman said, listen, the job is yours, but go home and think about it. And I went home, and the next day I called him. I said, no, coach, I'll take the job.
Wow, that's a great story. I mean, yeah, if Phil Jackson, I mean, if Pat Riley and Larry Brown are telling me that I might have something, I think I'm going to do it.
I said, exactly. You know what, I think I better listen now, you know? And really dismissed it when Ral said it.
Yeah.
And Larry said it 6 years later. I said, wait a minute, Ral said the same thing.
Yeah.
Just see something. And that got me, you know, really thinking about coaching.
That's so interesting. Who's your coach at ASU?
Ned Wilk.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he had been there for a number of years.
Yeah.
He ended up leaving ASU, and they brought in Bob Weinhauer from Penn.
Mm-hmm.
And Bob Weinhauer's assistants was Henry Bibby and Doug Collins.
Whoa, okay. Yeah.
Volunteer assistant was Garfield Hurd.
Really? Okay.
Yes, that was my three assistants. So I had
wisdom there with those dudes.
You guys who had some experience in the NBA.
Yeah.
Doug Collins and I became extremely good friends and close because he taught me a lot about getting ready for the NBA, and I really appreciated that.
Yeah. I mean, I think Doug Collins is so underrated because you know, people obviously talk about Phil and the Bulls and all that, but, you know, Doug Collins kind of set the table for that. And then the whole thing with the Olympics, getting robbed of the gold medal, and then the guys, like the Redeem Team guys, like presenting him with the, I mean, that was just So touching, man. It was crazy.
It was well-deserved because Doug was – a lot of people don't understand, you know, if Doug Collins didn't have such bad knee problems when he was playing, he was a 6'6", unbelievable basketball player.
Yeah.
I mean, I could score. He was quick. He was long. He was athletic. Mm-hmm. But his NBA years were cut short because of injuries, like a lot of guys. But I thought when I first saw him play, you know, at the University of Illinois and then in the pro –
yeah,
I said, man, this guy could be one of the greatest shooting guards in NBA history.
Yeah, well, you talked about Kareem earlier, Byron, and it is a tough question because you know LeBron is going to, God willing, if he stays healthy, he's going to break Kareem's record—a record probably nobody thought would be broken. I mean, you know, we thought you know Babe Ruth's record was going to be broken either, but mixed feelings about it, or it's just the way things happen, or how are you looking at it? I mean, this is Kareem we're talking about.
It's mixed feelings.
Yeah.
You know, I still don't think that record is going to change my mind who I think is the greatest of all time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I kind of always look at his body of work, what he did in college and in the NBA. You know, you got to combine all that, and it's no disrespect to MJ because he is no doubt in that conversation. And a lot of people give him the nod as being the greatest of all time.
Right.
But, you know, for my money, you know, Kareem, even when LeBron, like you said, breaks the record, I still think Kareem is the greatest player of all time. And can probably continue to have that feeling until the day I die. And, you know, for me, LeBron, what this does, it elevates him to a different level. I think he's in that conversation. And he's been in that conversation for a little bit. For a little while, but I think it's going to give people even more reason to say, you know, especially LeBron James fans, that he's the greatest of all time.
Yeah, I hear you. Hey, do you see any rivalries in this game today that could even ever come close to Lakers and Celtics? I mean,
no.
Nothing, right? I mean, it's not even in any sport, really.
Yeah, but you know what, Andy? All these guys are friends. They played together in AAU and all that stuff.
They got the same agent. You know, it's like, come on.
That stuff. You know, I mean, it's... I think that the times of having you know great rivalries like we did with the Celtics, I think those times are gone. I think they're long gone because teams don't hate each other and players don't hate each other like we did. I mean, and hate's a strong word, but we did.
It was definitely hate for sure. I mean,
hated us.
Yeah,
you know, the city of Boston hated us.
Of course,
LA hated the city of Boston. I mean, it was a true rivalry. And I don't think you'll ever see anything, at least in our lifetime, where we'll ever see anything that's going to be close to that type of rivalry.
Yeah, yeah, that's very, very true. weren't you in the 3-point contest with Ainge and Bird? Right. I think we talked about this on my Laker Spectrum show. And here you are. You got to be nice to these dudes. They're in a 3-point contest with them. They're wearing Celtic stuff. I mean, how weird was that? That'd be crazy.
And we still wasn't very nice to each other. I mean, we spoke, you know, but we wasn't giving high fives and how you doing.
Right.
And, you know, we just said, hey, how you doing? I mean, it wasn't cold, but it was so, you know, you could tell that none of us wanted to talk to each other in the first place. But, you know, I'm going to be respectful, which we all were.
Yeah.
And the thing that's so great about that rivalry is that, you know, as we got older and, you know, we all got out of the game and we would see each other in different places, so we started to talk. I remember when I was coaching Jersey and Cedric Maxwell did their radio.
Right.
And our guy came in and said, you know, Cedric Maxwell wants to do an interview with you. I said, tell him to go to hell. Andy, I wouldn't do it. I said, I'm not talking to his ass.
I love it. Yeah.
And
was he bringing Bobby the Marks, towel with him? He wasn't.
Yeah, him and ML. Yeah. Bobby Marks, who was our PR guy, was like, you know, we come back to Boston twice a year.
Right.
I didn't do it that whole year. You know, so the next time we come back, I told him no again. And then we came back. And Bobby said, coach, you're killing me. Please. You got every team head coach talks to him.
Yeah.
Do it. I said, I ain't got to do nothing. You know, I said, but you know what? Okay, I'll do it. So Cedric walks in and I'm giving him the cold shoulder. He walks in like, hey, Byron, how you doing? And I was like, what's up? You know, after the interview was over.
I love it.
Bobby Marks came in. Cedric and I are sitting there talking, wrapping it up.
Yeah.
And I found out, I said, okay, no wonder why I hate you guys so much, because you guys are just like us.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. You guys want to win. You don't care about who scored. You don't care about the name on the back of the jersey. You care about the name on the front.
Yeah.
Representing that, you know, that whatever, that green and white, and we represent. And we had the same mentality. That's why we hated each other so much.
Right.
And then you know, obviously later on meeting, you know, talking to Larry at the NBA draft, you know, where we you know, doing the ping pongs and all that.
Right,
stuff.
Right.
Danny, coaching against Kevin McHale, talking to the Chief. I was like, wow, okay. You know, I got a lot of respect for those guys, even more so now, because now I've gotten to know them a little bit. Now yeah. I know what made them tick just like we did.
Yeah, but you still hate them.
But in a good way.
Oh, that's so funny, man. So, B, last thing I want to ask you, what you're doing now, besides your podcast, and you're in a lot of golf tournaments, you're doing a lot of charity stuff. I would love to talk about whatever charity work that you're doing, but I also want to talk about the 3 Points brand that you're doing with your wife, Cece. So let me know about that.
I appreciate that. The charity work that my wife and I do, we just love trying to give back as much as possible. Our church has a charity called Feed My Poor, which are all the homeless people that are in the street. We go around just giving them food and water and socks and things like that. With our Father Ed, that's his mission. And we've just jumped on board and we just try to help as much as possible, physically as well as monetarily. Community of Friends is another, you know, homeless, you know, charity that we're involved in. Face Forward is another one, which, you know, you have a lot of women that have gone through some abuse, that were scarred, you know, extremely bad, and they go through some, you know, some surgeries to kind of look back normal. You know, they have husbands who are throwing hot grease and stuff like that on women. I mean, it's crazy. Yeah. Some of the things that we've heard with Face Forward, but we've been involved in that charity for the past 4 or 5 years. Mm-hmm. And then the one that we just finished is a golf tournament with Kiki Shepherd, who is my girl. She does a golf tournament called the Kiki Shepherd Celebrity Golf Tournament. Mm-hmm. And it's for the KISS Foundation, and it's for sickle cell disease. Mm-hmm. And I have the sickle cell trait. So that's another one that was really, you know, kind of near and dear to my heart. So Kiki and I have been doing, this with Kiki, or helping her for the last 4 years. And those are just some of the charities that we're involved in. And, like you said, we got a brand of bags that we've developed that we brought to the NBA. We got licensed by the NBA called 3 Pointers. Mm-hmm. And it's a handbag that you can, it's not really a hand, it's a phone bag, really, that you can put your phone, your cell phone, and some money, credit cards, things of that nature. You can wear it cross body. And we got purses for the ladies and things. We brought all that to Hawaii and, you know, gave a bunch of them away to our fellow teammates and all that good stuff and the wives.
Yeah,
that brand is about to explode. We hope in December is where we're coming out with it, you know, and so we're excited. The NBA, they looked at it. They thought it was an unbelievable idea, and it's a great product, you know. So we got that in the works with a bunch of other stuff, Andy. So I'm staying busy.
Yeah, man, you are staying busy. No kidding.
With the, you know, charity foundations that we're involved
with. Yeah.
I got 2 granddaughters that are 10 or 8 that live in LA that I see almost weekly.
Amazing.
You know, keep Papa grounded, as they say, but man, I'm just enjoying life.
Yeah.
Great, who's been right there, and she makes this easy for me.
Wow, that's so great. Yeah, when Cece brought out those bags at the wives' lunch, when we were in Hawaii, I mean, everybody's like jaw dropped. I mean, it was just spectacular. My wife uses it all the time now. It's incredible. So best of luck to both of you, man, and best of success. And we'll, whatever we got to do to promote it, pump it, we're there for you, man. But I can't thank you enough, Byron, for taking the time, really, because, you know, you and I go back to the beginning. I remember rookie year when I stuck you under the palm tree, as you remember.
Tried to make me disappear, but I was all right. I was like, I'm a rookie. I gotta pay my dues.
Yeah, we got, that wasn't on purpose. But
I want to be in the picture. I'm good.
I know. We did the poster just so the people know. It, you know, Lon Rosen always has these harebrained ideas to do these like conceptual posters, and Riles wouldn't go to the beach, so we had to bring the beach to the Lakers. And,
that's right.
And
that's
then we
right.
had this palm tree. I had to figure out where to put you, so I had you like peeking out from the palm tree. Anyway, whatever. We certainly had some fun, and it's so great reliving everything and having been with all of you guys in Maui just to take it all in, absorb it. Truly one of the highlights of my career was being part of Showtime, at least part of it to document it, but then to be part of this reunion was just spectacular. So, yeah.
You know, the thing that I think was so great about it, Andy, and like you said, you've been a part of it for so many years. You were there in the 80s with us, and I don't think we ever really looked at you as a photographer. We looked at you as part of family anyway.
Oh, man, that's the best thing you can say.
We looked at you as part of family, and it's no real reason why you and Jeffrey Osborne was there. You know what I mean? Because both of you guys, we looked at his family.
Well,
it was so good that you were there and we were able to enjoy it. And you were able to kind of document it with some unbelievable pictures that you sent to everybody. And I was just kind of, and again, every time I go through them, I'm going, man, it's just an unbelievable time. It just brings back that, you know, all those great memories.
Oh, it was so great. And so just so thankful to Riley and Magic for making it happen and the wives. And we didn't even talk about the fact that Magic had every single person speak at some point during that week, you know, the wives, you know, staff, whoever. And it was so impactful. Oh my God, everybody's story. Anyway, my friend, great to see you. Say hi to CC for me. And I'll see you down at the gym at some point. But thanks, B. Take care, thanks, man.
Appreciate it.
Okay, bud. Take care. Bye. Well, I can't thank Byron Scott enough for his time and being such a great guest on today's podcast. He is truly, truly a great friend and has always supported me in my work as his journey through the NBA went from player to coach to broadcaster and now podcaster. So many great memories that we've shared together over the years. I wish he and his wife, Cece, continued success in all their charitable work and their 3 Points brand. Check out their incredible products online at 3pointsbrand.com and on Instagram at 3pointsbrand. Also, please follow Byron on Instagram at @officialbyronscott and his podcast, Off the Dribble, also on Instagram at @byronscottpodcast. Remember, everyone, you can find us on the iHeart app and online, as well as Apple and Spotify and your favorite podcast platform. Keep following us on Instagram at Legends of Sport, our Twitter at @Legends_of_Sport, our website, legendsofsport.net, and of course, our YouTube and TikTok channels, Legends of Sport. My photography can be found on Instagram and Twitter at ADB Photo Inc. Thanks again, everyone, for continuing to support the Legends of Sport podcast. Remember to rate and review and tell all your friends how great it is. We'll be back next week with another great guest and episode. Until then, stay safe and stay well.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.